What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Royal Ascot Anti-Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio as usual by Nick Watts. We also have Tom Siegel and Darren Hughes on the line as well from Paddy Power. This week, our final one, we're going to look at the Royal Hunt Cup, the Wokingham, the Queen Mary and the Coventry Stakes. So two really meaty handicaps to get stuck into, as well as some intriguing juvenile contests. We're going to start off with the Royal Hunt Cup. As you can see behind us, we've got Settle for Bay, last year's winner, on the screen. So it looks a top place to start. Let's just run through the market, Darren, first off.
Sure thing, Maddie. Yeah, so New Graduate is our 8-1 favourite. Then last year's winner, as you say, Settle for Bay, is 10-1. Blue Mist is 12s. Blue Mist is 11-1. Boreman is 12s. Kate Byron's 14s. There's a rake more than at 14s as well.
Yeah, plenty in that bracket. Let's start off with New Graduate then. James Tate has had a great year, hasn't he, Watson? This horse, he looked really impressive last time out, beating Queso.
Yeah, won at Ripon, didn't he? Very easily. He's, like you said, he's an interesting horse, and I can understand him being market leader. I think he's only raced four times. Mm. I think on his debut at Thirsk last year, he beat Zaki, who's a very good horse now, won a Group 3. I think he's rated 113, finished second behind him, not beaten very far. So he's always had quite a lot of ability. He looked very, very good, like you said, at Ripon last time out. I think he's off a mark of, I think he's off 105 at the moment. And he's one of those horses that could easily bridge up to listed and group company. So, yeah, I mean, it's a different test for him here. Obviously, a big field handicap and, you know, so different to what he's used to, but he's going in the right direction. Like you said, James Tate had a fantastic season and there's plenty of reasons to be positive about him.
Yeah, Tommy looked like the proverbial group horse in a handicap last time. With regards to his profile, would you think he'd be one that you'd be interested for this race, or is he too inexperienced?
Experience doesn't bother me, Maddie. If you can run fast, you can run fast. I thought he was really, really good at Ripon. Form's worked out well. The third's come out and won twice since. The fourth, Crown Thought, went and won as well. So at the time, I thought, blimey, that was... They've really hammered him for that win. You know, they put him up, what, £15 for that win. And I thought, well, that was plenty. But in hindsight, it might not have been. So he's clearly one of the most likely winners, isn't it? He's just the thing against him is he ran badly in soft ground last year. If the rain that was forecast was to come and it was soft, I wouldn't love him on that. And he's got no Ascot form. But apart from that, oh, and his price. You have to throw in his price as well in a handicap like this. And, you know, things like draws and stuff could come into it. So would I be interested in backing him now? No. But on the day, if I was, you know, if it was fast ground and I thought he was nicely drawn and stuff, yeah, there's nothing wrong with 8-1.
Yeah, he's a talented horse, isn't he, Darren? Are you sort of as positive as the other two?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle, Maddie. Like, I kind of don't really have too many quibbles with what the lad said there. The form's working out well. He's relatively unexposed, I suppose, as Tom said there. He just doesn't have the Ascot form. Look, he's the favourite in a big handicap, so your natural inclination would be to take him on, and that's mine at the moment, but I'm getting it hard to knock him too hard either, if you get me.
Yeah, definitely understand that. Now, the last horse to win this race, and the only horse to win this race twice, as far as I'm aware, was Master Vote in 1947 and 1948. So Settle for Bay, who won off 99, is going to aim to do the same as him. He's now Daddy, 6 pounds.
That was impressive,
higher.
The 1947 form book.
Hey, I was
good. Really
sometimes.
Impressed.
I couldn't find that earlier, so you've done very well there.
Now you're just making me suspicious I've got this wrong. Anyway, so it was a nice fourth in the listed Glencairn Stakes when we last saw him. That was quite an eye-catching run. I mean, Tom, I'll go to you first this time. He was very, very impressive last year. Things haven't sort of gone his way totally since, but I don't know about you, still sort of am of the opinion we have yet to see the best of him.
I don't know if we've yet to see the best of him, because he couldn't have been much better than he was in the race last year, Maddie. I thought he was ridiculously impressive, wasn't he? Now, he is only £6 higher than that. He won by 2.5 lengths. David Marnan at Ascot is, you know, me and Watsy, we've been backing his horses at Ascot for many years, haven't we, Watsy? And they always won well. I think he's won a Wokingham, hasn't he, as well as a Hunt Cup. He's going to be trained perfectly for the race. Can he win again? Yes, he definitely can.
Yeah, nice and simply summed up there. Watsy, would you be a big fan?
I am a big fan. The only thing, it's an obvious thing to say, but I mean, the stat you just pulled out, the last horse to do it twice was back in the 1940s. I don't know how many horses actually come back and try again the following year. It's probably not, you know, a huge sample, but And I always think it's, you know, it's hard enough to win one of these handicaps once, let alone twice. But, I mean, we are in the year of Tiger Roll, so, you know, maybe a good...
Poor old Darren, you had to mention that, didn't you? We've avoided that.
So it could well happen. I mean, yeah, you know, he's not the one I'm actually going to tip in the race, but yeah, is he a threat? Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, Darren, settle for Bay. I mean, clearly a really, really good horse on his day.
Yeah, I don't think that Nick not get the memo. We don't talk about Tiger Roll anymore. as for settle for Bay, to be honest, coming into it, I hadn't looked at the prices till I started kind of looking at the race properly for this podcast, and he was the one I was actually going to stick up, but he's not really a wise guy. Priced at 10s, I was kind of hoping he'd be forgotten about and he might get 20 or 25s. I'd ignore his maiden form. I don't know how Tom or the lads feel about it, but I never, ever take maiden form into account trying to assess a horse back in Europe. It just doesn't stick, if you get me. It doesn't generally stand up. Wouldn't shock me if he went and won it by any manner of means, but I'm not going to back him at, you know, when he's second favourite for it, because he does have a little bit to find and a little bit to prove based on what he's shown so far this year.
Yeah, okay. Blue Mist is next on my list, a course and distance winner. Only six, well, I say only six, a decent effort in the Victoria Cup last time. He's now off 96. Can we see him making the needed improvement?
Yeah, I can. Only can? Six, okay. In the Victoria. You weren't happy with that run. I thought he had a lot of encouragement from that. It was seven furlongs, sure, yeah. It was staying on. I think it'll be better over a mile. As you know, he has got Ascot form. It hacked up there last October. He's in the right hands. He's, you know, Roger Charlton, great trainer with this kind of horse. I think he's progressive. I think that run will have obviously done him good, sharpened him up, got him ready. The extra furlong, I think there's a lot to be encouraged about with this horse. So, you know, don't be so hard on him.
I got right talking down to you there, didn't I, Tom? Blue Mist, what do you think?
I agree with Watsy. The only thing I'd say is that I watched that race again this morning, the Victoria Cup. And if you like Blue Mist, you've got to like Raising Sand. You really have. I mean, I thought he was a real eye catcher in the Victoria Cup. He was drawn 26 on this side. He was drawn by Blue Mist. He came from behind him and, you know, beat him a couple of lengths. He's an Ascot specialist. He might be slightly better at seven furlongs, but I like that horse. I think, you know, in this day and age, in past, I would have said seven-year-olds winning Hunt Cups. It's just not going to happen. But there's so few real unexposed horses get in these races. Look, we've got New Graduate and we've got Blue Mist, who's not certain to get in. He's number 50-something on the list at the moment. But, yeah, very good chance. Brilliant trainer. Very good target trainer for races at Ascot and big handicaps. So, yes, I have no problem with Blue Mist. But if you watch the Victoria Cup again, fancy him. You've got to fancy Raising Sand a bit too.
Yeah, Raising Sand's one of the last horses on my little list here. Obviously, as you mentioned, a real good horse at Ascot, so be foolish to discount him. Darren, any thoughts on Blue Mist?
Little bit short based on what he's achieved, I think. And as well as that, the ground. If the ground comes up rattling fast, I mean, would that not be a concern for you lads? You might know more about it than I do, but from what I can see, his best form is on ground with a bit of give in it. And if it did come up rattling fast next week, I'd definitely be looking to take him on.
Yeah, he's by McPhee, and they tend to like a bit of soft ground, Darren. So, yes, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, OK, so that could be something to bear in mind then. Really interesting horse is Bowerman, who was only a head second behind Stradivarius on his debut. Sort of had a few problems since, but he's 3 from 4 since then. Not done much racing on turf. I think he's rated about 103 now. Really impressive at Newcastle last time. I think if he transfers that form, he's got to be a player. Darren, what do you think of this Bowerman?
Very difficult to assess, Matty. Very clearly a little bit fragile. He missed a lot of time. For all that, his comeback was impressive. The next three home haven't exactly set the form alight. One of them was like 5th pulled up and 7th, and the rest of them fairly stuffed since, to be fully honest with you. So you have to wonder, what did he beat at Newcastle that day? I'll definitely be looking elsewhere. Certainly won't be looking back as such.
Okay. What about you, Watson? Any thoughts on him?
Not particularly about him. There's another one on the list I was going to mention, Elector, which is quite an interesting horse. Actually ran in the King Edward last year over a mile and a half at the meeting. So that's quite an unusual step back. You wouldn't normally see horses running in that race and then coming back and running in the Royal Hunt Cup the following year. But he's done well this season. He won a mile and a furlong race at Newmarket on his comeback. Quite a competitive race. And he was fifth behind Mountain Angel, not being far at Epsom last time out. Okay, he didn't quite get the job done, but, you know, I'd always forgive a horse, you know, getting beat around Epsom, especially in those tight handicaps. So I think he's one of those ones. You see the complexion races change a lot in these races at Ascot, you know, when they go furious gallop early on and you get closers, you get finishes in the final furlong, which can be a long way home for the ones who have been leading. Electra is one of those who will be very strong at the death and you'd expect him to be flying. So if he went for this, I'd be semi-interested in him. He's definitely one I want to have another look at.
Yeah, just bear in mind, a favourite hasn't actually won this race in 10 years. That was Forgotten Voice, the last winner, 4-1. So it's well worth picking out horses at bigger prices. Obviously, we'll know more on the day. Tom, is there any more you want to talk about?
Yeah, Robin and Avon, Maddie. Robin and Avon, I'm a big fan of his. If you watch at the start of the season, he was third to Zaki and the good horse
Barney Roy
at Ascot. And then he went to Newbury last time and he was just murdered all the way up the straight. Ran on again to finish seventh. I think he would have won. He was stopped, you know, he must have lost 15 lengths, got stuck behind a wall of horses. So I'm interested in him because he's got the Ascot form through that Robin and through that Barney Roy and Zaki form, which I think is really good. I think we can all see that now. And I think he's going to run really well. He's a proper group horse that's sort of dropped in the weights and it's the sort of horse that I can see running really well.
Yeah, he's getting on a bit now, but he's got a fair bit of back class, hasn't he, Robin and Navin?
Oh yeah, was he a group two winner, group one winner in his youth?
Yeah,
he won a group one, beat Cloth of Stars in a group one, the Criterium St. Cloud as a young horse. But obviously, I thought he was all about soft ground, but his form this year, especially the one at Ascot, was quickish ground. So I wouldn't be worried either way with him. And I think he'll run really well, a sort of horse, sort of race that will suit him, strong pace, finishing well.
Yeah, I like that. Darren, who are you keen on?
I had two. One of them was Robin and Avon, would you believe? That's one of the ones I'd written down. We won't bother rehashing what Tom said there. But again, like him, I was kind of convinced this lad was a soft ground horse. But form this year would suggest otherwise, and I'd expect him to run quite well. The other one then was Red Tea for Joseph O'Brien.
Yep.
Moved to Joseph from, I think it was Peter Hyatt, when he moved over this year. And she's had three runs for Joseph, finished third in a Curragh handicap, then won pretty much with her head in her chest in a very, very strong Curragh handicap again. And since then, has finished third behind Beshire and I Can Fly in a group two at the Curra once again. I would not be one bit surprised if she had a little bit more improvement in her again, especially dropped back into handicap company. She was rated 98 for Peter Hyatt. She could easily find another 15 or 16 pounds for Joseph. Just the way she won that day at the Curra, she won by 4.5 lengths, pretty much eased down. The form is okay. Like the second, third, fourth and fifth of all rider, like they've run reasonably well in similar races since. So Joseph doesn't send one over here for the crack, and I would expect her to run very, very well. I would just temper that by saying she's also entered in the Duke of Cambridge, but I'd expect her to take a chance here more so than there.
Yeah, you'd have to think so, wouldn't you, with her? Watsy, I mean, you've chucked Electra into the mix already. Any others?
No, I think we've covered a good cross-section there. I think my two against the field at this stage would be Blue Mist and Electra if the ground was slightly less than good to firm. You know, if we had a bit of rain beforehand and it was good to soft, then Blue Mist, definitely. But Blue Mist and Electra, yeah, that's good enough for me at this stage.
Who knows what's going to happen with the weather? It's disgraceful at the minute that we're in June and it's absolutely tipping it down, so hopefully it brightens up soon. Tom, go on then. Who are your two against the field?
I'm very scared of new graduate, Maddie, but the two at the moment. One thing, Bowerman, I'm not sure he's going to run. I had a look at a Roger Verin web stable tour the other day and he was talking about Chelmsford and all weather races for him, so just be wary of backing him at this stage. Two, I like Raising Sand, who I just think is going to run really well. Jamie Osborne's got a fantastic record at Royal Ascot. He's got more wicket winners than William Haggis, and it's not even close at Royal Ascot, which I thought is an interesting stat. He always trains them for Royal Ascot. I don't know if you saw his interview the other day when he'd had his fire. He said all he does is think about Royal Ascot. So he's getting Raising Sand right ready for that. I think he'll run well. And the other one is the one I mentioned there, Robin and Avon. I just think he's got lots going for him and fast run mile, perfect for him.
Nice. And Robin and Avon and Red Tea for you, Darren?
Correct and right, Maddie. Yeah, both of those for me.
Yeah, so some nice prices there if you're interested. Let's move on to another handicap then, the Wokingham. This is over 6 furlongs. It's on the Saturday. Just run us through the prices. Darren, is Foxtrot Lady your favourite?
She is, surely, yeah. So it's a very competitive affair, as you can well imagine. She is our 10-1 favourite. Danzino then from Michael Appleby is 12s. Gunmetal is 14s. Laughing Minute for Roger Varian is 14s. Perfection is 14s. Shababi is 14s. Soldier's Minute is 14s. Bacchus is 16s, Kate Byron is 16s, and there's several more 16s and 20s bar after that.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's a tough race this, as you'd expect. Do you think Foxtrot Lady is the right favourite? She looks okay handicapped, doesn't she?
Yeah, I actually think she is, to be honest. Again, as I said in the Latin for the Hunt Cup there, I would generally look to take on favourites in races like these, but 10-1, like, I think she is actually a very, very fair price. You know, she's been held this year by Dream of Dreams, who is like an out-and-out group horse, but right, probably a little bit shy of Group 1 class, obviously, but is a group horse. I think off her mark, you know, she's been running around tight tracks, and I don't think she can get away with that off the mark at the moment. This stiffer track should suit, and the faster the ground, the better for her, obviously, so we're hoping that the rain does stay away before next week. Definitely wouldn't put anyone off backing her at 10s. I probably will be looking elsewhere, but she is very fair at that.
Okay, you think she's a fair favourite. Tom, do you agree?
Don't like her at all, Maddie. No. No Ascot form. Don't like her run style. I think you need hold-up horses, I think, in the Wokingham generally. No, not for me at all. I don't get it. I don't see it in her at all.
Okay, that's interesting. Which side of the fence you on?
I'm kind of somewhere between the two, I suppose. Yeah, I take Tom's point on board as well, but it's one of those races, you know. It's like the Hunt Cup that we've just been through. You can go through 10 and you can give all sorts of them, you know, little bits and pieces of chances, and you know that's what makes it the race it is. It's not actually my selection for this, but I can understand why she's market leader, but not for me.
Yeah, I must admit, I was looking back through Danzino's Ascot form, and crikey, that makes for really good reading. I think he's won a couple of races at Ascot. He was third behind Muharrar in a very good race there. 97, six-length win last time out. Really showed his class. Tom, we've spoken about young progressive horses coming through versus the older horses. How do you think Danzino rates in a race like this?
Well, Mick Appleby does brilliantly with these horses, isn't he?
He's incredible.
Yeah, he's incredible, isn't he? £5 penalty, 102 now he's going to be running off. 8-year-old, I get the back class. Not convinced really about him either.
He's not always been the most straightforward, has he? I think he hung right across the track when
he did. I mean, he has good Ascot form, hasn't he? And he was fourth to Blue Point in the Ben Gough Stakes 1 year, wasn't he? You know, proper group race form. Look, he can go well. Of course he can go well. Would I back him? No.
Okay, yeah, I think you could probably argue, maybe I'm not being harsh, that a few more exciting horses in there against him. Darren, what do you think of Danzino?
Kind of, again, a little bit less enthusiastic about him as I am about Foxtrot Lady, even though actually on a direct line through Dream of Dreams, he actually has her measure. Ascot form's obviously a positive. Why did he get stuffed in this last year? Did anything come to light because of that, or did he just not run his race?
Like, he was not too sure.
He had a bit of a down year last year, didn't he? He didn't really run that well at all.
Did they? So gave him, you know, yeah. Obviously he wasn't right, and they roughed him off after July, and he didn't come back until recently, so it must have been not quite
That's
right.
That's fair, That's fair. Yeah, look, I'm not going to put anyone off backing him. I'm going to be looking elsewhere. Like, he is well in under his penalty. He'll probably get £10 for that, and he's carrying a £5 penalty, so. You know, you're beating the handicapper back, and I'm looking elsewhere.
Okay, what about Shababi? What's he's been gelded, won a Haydock conditions race last time, and he's one of the sort of younger ones. We've not seen him too much.
Well, he was, he was kind of on my shortlist. Again, it's like we mentioned in Royal Hunt Cup a minute ago with Blue Mist. I think he's one that would definitely come into play if the ground was good or softer. If there's a bit of rain around next week, I think he'd be in his element and it'd suit him really nicely. He'd really come to the fore and be very near the top of my list. I think if he's good to firm, I probably wouldn't fancy him quite so much. But he's definitely one on my radar. The other one we might come to in a minute is Gunmetal. I don't know if you want me to carry on.
Yeah, go for it.
He used to be a Charlie Hills horse, and I thought he was going to be one of those that, you know, was good but not great. He's just much of a muchness. But he seems to have taken a leap forward for David Barron, and he's been in really good form since he left the Hills Yard. He's won over as far as 7 furlongs, so we know he's going to be a strong finisher over a stiff 6, and he was just really eye-catching at York last time in a good handicap over 5 furlongs. He finished 4th behind Duke of Firenze, not beaten far at all. Duke of Firenze went on, you know, ran a good race in the Dash the following week at Epsom. So that was a really promising run. And like I said, I think the step up and the step back up to a stiff 6 furlongs at Ascot will suit him absolutely ideally. And yeah, since leaving the Hills Yard, like I said, I think he's taken a really real leap forward for David Barron, who traditionally is a great trainer of spinsters.
Yeah, I must admit, I remember he won at Newmarket one day and he looked really impressive, like he was going to be really good, didn't he? So good to see him sort of get back to a really good place. Some other on the list, we've got Soldier's Minute, Laugh a Minute, Perfection, some of those that we're more familiar with perhaps. Tom, who else do you want to talk about?
Kate Byron. I think Kate Byron, who won the Victoria Cup, I think dropping back to 6 furlongs will suit him. I don't think that's a problem. Loads of good Ascot form. He was second in the handicap on to rip off last year. I think if you look at the Victoria Cup last time, he was in front quite a long way out. I think a strongly run 6 furlong might suit him. I like Roger Varian in Ascot handicaps. He'd be one. I thought Hey Jonesy was another one who ran. He's been running in group races. Kevin Ryan has a great record in races like the Wokingham. He was fourth or fifth in the Commonwealth Cup last year. He's only beaten a couple of lengths, so he's got good Ascot form. I thought he could go well. There's loads in there.
I've always wondered whether 5 furlongs could be more of his bag than 6.
I get it. But I'm watching the Duke of York last time when he was fourth, when he was fifth to Invincible Army, only beaten 4 lengths. And if you take Invincible Army out, he's right on. He finishes all over Yafta, Limato, Major Jumbo, and they're all going to be running in the Group One, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Golden Jubilee. So if he runs in this, I thought he'd go well. And there's plenty, isn't there? There's Gunmetal. I agree with Watts. He's won at a massive price, Stone of Destiny for Andrew Balding. He was fourth in the Commonwealth Cup last year. If he runs, I thought he could go well. But you could go on and on. Tis Marvelous was fourth in the race last year off a similar mark. And then even Old Watchable, you know, we're talking about old boys. He broke the track record, didn't he, last time at Epsom? Lots of horses are running that 6 furlong handicap down the hill. No, it was really fast ground. But he was favourite for the race in 2015. He finished fourth or fifth. So, you know, you wouldn't put it, as I say, these old boys, they're winning big races these days. And I wouldn't put past him running well. So at the moment, it's just, I think you could make a case for 20 of them, really. That's why I'm a little bit negative about the ones at the top of the market, because they're about the same as lots of them that are much bigger prices.
Yeah, I get that. We can definitely see your Ascot form when you go through the different horses you like there. But, you know, very valid points. Darren, who else do you want to mention?
I just had two. And again, Tom's after stealing my thunder there with Hey Jonesy. He's a cliff horse for me. And to be honest, I'm putting him up more out of fear that he'd actually run well than anything else, because I've done my stones on him so many times.
You sound like me. I think I've backed him a good few times as well.
I'm a huge fan. Like, he runs so, so well in really, really hot races. Like Tom said there, the Commonwealth last year, he's run well in the Duke of York, run well in all these big races. Like, and you think, surely he's going to pop up at some stage. I backed him last year at Ascot, like, at 40s, 4 bases each way. And, of course, he comes such as life. The other one, anyway, is 25s as well, is Gossamer Wings for Aidan O'Brien. Get the negatives out of the way first. He only has a nav and maiden win to his name, but doesn't tell the full story at all. He was only beaten a couple of lengths by Soldier's Call last year, by Fairyland. That's very strong form in the context of this race. This year he's run extremely well twice over like an inadequate 5 furlongs. He's beaten by Sophia there, Ignace, who went in over the weekend in a Group 3 and went over to France then and wasn't beaten far by Inza Court, who is second favourite, I think, for one of the big Group 1s here. At Royal Ascot. So he's off a mark of, I think, 100-odd. I don't actually have it here in front of me. But he's 25-1. I think the step up to 6 furlongs here will suit perfectly. And you have to remember, she ran a career best at Ascot last year, near enough the Queen Mary. She's only beaten ahead in that. So she actually has course form as well. She's just one at a price. I hope she rocks up here, because I think she could run very, very well.
Okay, so just to clarify there, you're two against the field. Hey, Jonesy, Gossamer Wings.
Correct. Yeah.
Fabulous. Tom?
Well, Hey Jonesy would be one of mine. I didn't mention Spring Loaded, who I should mention.
Yeah, I thought he was a bit interesting.
Yeah, he loves Ascot. He was so impressive in that 5 furlong race last year, wasn't he? When he shot past Poyle Vinny and some really good horses, Major Jumbo. You know, he absolutely thrashed him, didn't he? And he's a really good Ascot horse. He was 6th or 8th in the race last year. Off a £3 higher mark. He's just got great Ascot form. I slightly prefer him at 5 furlongs.
Okay.
But 6 furlongs, I think, I think he'll run really well. I think this has been the target all, you know, and he wins big races, doesn't he? He won the Portland by miles. He just wins big races. So he'd be one. So that'd be my two at the moment, Spring Loaded and Hey Jonesy.
Okay, fabulous. What's it seems like we're all kind of hoping to take a chance on a couple of bigger price ones here.
Yeah, I'm not sure mine is quite so big, Gunmetal. I think he's nearer the top of the market. But, you know, he's still getting double figures about him. So, I mean, you know, you wouldn't turn your nose up at a double figure winner ever, would you? So I'm quite happy to go with him.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go for a break, time to mention the Royal Ascot Guyver 2019. Get your hands on this today. Plenty of good stuff, whether you're at Royal Ascot for the betting or just for a really good day out. Tipping, all sorts of advice. You need to get your hands on one of these. Go to racingpost.com/shop. It's just £12.99.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Royal Ascot Anti-Postcast. The two juvenile races are the ones we're going to look at now, with the Coventry and then the Queen Mary. We'll start off with the Colts race. Over 6 furlongs, the Group 2. Really good sort of stallion-making race this. We'll see some great horses have won it down the years. Let's just talk through Arizona before we get to Darren. I'm sure he's going to confirm he's at the top of the market, but he looked really good last time out.
Yeah, he did. He looked superb. I mean, that's the tricky thing with a race like this, is that they're all likely race two-year-olds who all got ones next to their name and all looked really impressive on their last start. So they've earned their right to be here. And it's kind of trying to decipher which one you like the best out of a host who look, you know, superb. And Arizona is one of those. Like you said, won easily last time out. I was interested in the quotes afterwards. I presume this is where he's going to go, but Aidan O'Brien actually did say he's qualified for the Chesham as well.
Yeah.
I know we might come to Pinatubo later, who also, their owners have said after he won at Epsom last time out, that he could run in the Chesham.
They've changed the conditions of it, haven't they?
They have slightly, yeah. So that makes Arizona, I think, wouldn't have been qualified before, but is now. Pinatubo qualifies too. I'd like to see both of them in this race. I'd certainly like to see Arizona in there, and I think Pinatubo could be a big player as well. But like you said, you know, they've all looked great in their last starts, and you watch the reruns of their last runs, and some of them won brilliantly. I like Repartee, who won at York for Kevin Ryan. I thought he won very comfortably as well. Sometimes the form is untested. We had Threat winning at Newmarket over 5.
Yep.
That was a small field race. But he did it very nicely. Richard Hannon very enthused about him. So it's going to be a brilliant renewal. It always is. It's just trying to work out which one you like the best.
Yeah, exactly. We saw a spectacular winner last year in Calix. Darren, Arizona, can you definitely see him going this way?
I can now, Maddie, yeah. I think the initial plan was to go to the Chesham, but keeping an eye on the markets lately would suggest that Monarch of Egypt, who they'd initially lined up for this, may not be going. Like, there's obviously nothing confirmed yet out of Aidan O'Brien's yard, but looking at the exchanges and looking at the betting markets would suggest he mightn't be coming. So,
with him, they said they wanted to run him again, didn't they, before Ascot? And obviously they've not got another run into him, so...
Yeah, this is my theory with Monarch of Egypt, is you have to bear in mind he's obviously an American Pharaoh, so he's obviously bred further. So for Aidan to even bother running him at this stage of the year, he must have been absolutely tearing the place up at home. I think he won over 5 furlongs at Nace at the opening weekend of the year. I actually went down to Nace to see him that day and wasn't disappointed. The step up to 6 probably would have suited, but it's probably all academic now at this stage. I don't believe he will. We will see him maybe till later on in the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so run us through the market now then.
Sure thing, yeah. So Arizona is 4-1. Threat is 5-1. Monarch of Egypt is still in there at 6s. Siskin for Geraldine's is 8. Sunday Sovereign is 9s. Pinatubo is 10s. Repartee is 10s. And it is 12s bar.
Yeah, Tom, lots of different strings of form coming into play here. But Arizona, he was second behind Sunday Sovereign, who also has this race as an option first time out. He's a no-nay never, and he looked really impressive last time at the Curragh. 8 lengths he won by.
Yeah, he was really good, wasn't he? As Watsy says, you can take, you know, you pay your money, you take your chance. Personally, I think he's too short a price. I don't think what he did there was any better than what some of the others have done in their run-up. But he's trained by Aidan O'Brien, who has a tremendous record in the race. Would I back him at that? No. Do I think he can win? Yes.
Okay, nice and simple. What about Threat then? I know you're quite keen on him. Richard Hannon, owned by Cheveley Park, won really nicely, beating Electrical Storm at Newmarket.
Yeah, I liked him first time out. I thought that was a better race than people gave it credit for. I thought the time was really good. I'm not sure he's a 5-1 shot or whatever Darren said there. I think that's plenty short enough on, you know, because as Watsy pointed out, you could probably say the same about all the runners in this race come the time. They'll all have won a race. They'll all have looked impressive. Threat was my original fancy when he was 14-16-1, and I admit to having a few quid on him at that price, but around 5-1 now. There's plenty more threads have come into the race since then, and you know, there's plenty you can fancy. Pierre Lapin was really impressive for me at Haydock, was it? Siskin's good, but the one I got to talk about, Maddie, is the one that won on Saturday, Vizinari for Mark Johnson. who, if he runs in this, I think would win, and I don't think it'd even be close. I thought he was as impressive a two-year-old as I've seen for many, many years. I thought he was really, really good. It was three and a half lengths and 10 lengths. The time was quicker than the 6 furlong handicap won by a 95-rated horse. You know, the time compared to War, who was everyone's talking about Britannia horse, was off the scale good. He has to be a seriously top-class horse. Whether he runs, I don't know. I thought he was as impressive as Calyx was in his debut. The two-year-olds don't win by 3.5 and 10.
I think Shalar won that race as well, didn't he? He was
correct.
A two-year-old, yeah.
Correct. And, you know, so if he was to turn up, and who knows what Mark Johnson will do, he might save him for the July meeting. That's probably what I'd do if he was mine, if truth be told, because he's a big thing and it might be better to wait and give him a bit more time. But if he does run here, I think he'll start near enough favourite. And if he's whatever price he is, now, I don't know if he's in Darren's prices, but if he was to run, he'd be clearly top of my list.
Yeah, I like that. I'd almost forgotten about him, but he was super impressive at the weekend, wasn't he? Darren, is he in your prices anywhere?
Don't think so, Maddie. I have it open here in front of me. I don't think we've stuck him in off the back. But
okay.
Probably on the assumption that it's too soon to between then and next week.
Yeah, that'd be understandable. One horse I want to ask you about, Darren, is Siskin, 2 from 2, the Marble Hill winner for Jer Lyons. I think this horse could potentially be the classiest in this lineup, but connections weren't too keen whether they were going to go. Do you know anything about the recent word on the street?
For me, he should be favoured. If you knew he was going, he'd be for me, he's my favourite in the race. But he's 8-1 based on the fact that I would be shocked if he did go. Jer Lyons, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, he sent over 5 or 6 horses to Ascot and didn't even get related to hitting the board, much less actually win a race. And that put him off. I think, like, Jer is very realistic with what he has. He doesn't take, not pie in the sky by any manner of means. If you've ever heard him in an interview, you'd know that. And he's, you know, he targets his horses at races he can win. He likes making money for the yard, etc., etc. And his exact quote was, why bother going to England when we can get the same result in the railway at the Curragh? And that makes sense to me. As a racing fan, it's disappointing. I'd like to see him over there next week because I agree with you. I think out of all of these, for me, he's the most promising or maybe the most exciting so far, we put it that way. And looking at him, he could drop to 5 or he could go up to 7. I wouldn't be worried about him either way. I really hope he does change his mind to send him over next week to go to the race, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the only sort of thing I'm hoping is that the owner, Khalid Abdullah, you know, he's a Judman horse, maybe they could twist his arm in some way, but could be unlikely, as you mentioned. Watsy, I know you want to
twist Jer Lyons' arm, I can tell you that.
Yeah, probably unlikely. Watsy, I know you want to talk about Repartee, but first, you got any thoughts on Sunday Sovereign? I mentioned him slightly earlier when we were talking about Arizona, been bought by King Power Racing.
Yeah, it's like the point I originally made, you know, they've all looked good coming into the race and, you know, they've all got chances. It's trying to decipher which ones you like the best. Repartee was the one who caught my eye, won at York. Kevin Ryan's got a couple of, you know, decent juveniles. I think he won with one at Haydock on Friday night by Frankel. He put an amazing performance, I forget the name of it now. But Repartee, I always like, the one thing I like when you see juveniles run or when any horse runs is when they put distance between themselves and the second. Repartee did that at York, won very, very easily indeed. Mm. I like the breeding. Related
Invisible
to
Spirit, isn't he?
Yeah, and related to Kingmen on the dam side, I think. I suppose if you were going into the Coventry, you'd like to have got 2 runs into them as opposed to 1 because it just gives them more experience coming into the cauldron of a big meeting like this. So that's a slight concern. But apart from that, you know, I just really like the way you went about it. And you know, some performances, you know, for all of us, some will catch your eye more than others. And that was the one for me that really caught my eye. Just going back to Threat, that Tom mentioned Threat, I think part of what makes him interesting is that he's not really precociously bred. I think he's by Footsteps in the Sand, who hasn't been a very good sire. He's not a sire you would normally associate with winning Coventries. So I think the fact that he could win over 5 furlongs on his debut at Newmarket, beating a 5-2 on shot from Godolphin, I think that has to bode well. So I think Threat would live up to his name. He very much is a threat. And I wouldn't rule out Pinatubo if he did run in this race, just because he won at Epsom last time out. And I think
he was a winner, wasn't he?
He was. I think he was helped by one of them flying off at 1 million miles an hour, so he, you know, he could pick up the pieces. And he might well go for the Chesham. If he ran in the Chesham and we're coming to the rest of Ascot later on, then I'd massively fancy him for that. I don't think I'd rule him out if he went for this.
Okay, so just clarify, Threat and Repartee for you?
It would be Repartee. That would be my main pick, yeah, ahead of the others.
Yeah, very much understandable. Tom, who else do we want to talk about?
I think we've done most of them, Maddie. Well, we say we've done most of them. There's probably about 10 we haven't mentioned, but I...
Expressionist, Temple of Heaven, Ventura Rebel, just a couple more on my list.
I think they've come a bit short. I know people fancy talking about Ventura Rebel, wasn't he? He stayed on well over five at Ascot to beat the Wesley Ward two-year-old, didn't
Lady
he?
Pauline,
that's
yeah.
That's out now, isn't she? She's injured herself, I think, and she's not making the making Ascot. But well, I think he could run well, but I'd be surprised if he was quite good enough. Mm. I think we've mentioned most of the ones, as I say... Visionari's my one, but if he doesn't turn up, then I'd be a Pinatubu and a Threat fan myself. I thought Pinatubu was really, really impressive. If he was mine, he'd be going here, not the Chesham.
Do you think he will?
I don't know. It depends what else they've got, doesn't it? If they've got something else for the Chesham or they've got something else for this, struggling to see one they've got for this, although they might buy one in the meantime. Who knows what they'll do? Yeah. Is Itworth going to run here? I don't know. No, he's not going to. Goes for the... Okay. Queen Mary, is it? Oh, yeah. I got the wrong horse.
Expressionist is the one.
If he was to come, then maybe they'll think of spending Pinatubu to the Chesham. I'd run him here. I think it's a group race for starters. And I think it's the race for him.
Yeah, it's arguably probably a more prestigious race when it comes to sort of stallion value and when they're looking at building a horse's career, maybe. But good horses have won the Chesham too. Darren, we'll go over you for your final sort of thoughts.
I've backed Arizona. I backed him last week at sixes on the basis that Monarch of Egypt is in there at sixes, probably isn't running. Tiscan is in there at eights, probably isn't running. And Sunday Sovereign is like 10-1 on to go to the Norfolk. So there's like three of the ones towards the top of the market not going. Pinatubo, Tom says, mightn't run here either. So like the five, there's fives out there. That Arizona could very easily go off 15-2-1 on the day based on other things coming out. So I backed him last week on that basis, and I'm going to stick with him because I'm getting it, you know, for a race that I actually enjoy every year, I'm getting it hard to be too inspired about anything at this stage.
Okay, that's a really good point, though. I think you make a really good point there with other horses having different options. And Arizona, he did look to have plenty of star quality last time out. He's got the connections for it. We'll move on to the Queen Mary. Then we mentioned, Tom mentioned Ickworth. She's one that is in with a chance here. But run us through the market, Darren.
Can do, yes. Yeah. So Chasing Dreams is our 7-2 favourite. Good Vibes is sevens. And As Fast as eights. Final Song is eights. Ickworth is eights. Mary is eight. And it is tens bar.
Thank you very much. Now, Tom, I remember you saying that you don't like horses who wear hoods. So does that mean you don't like Chasing Dreams, who won by five lengths at Newmarket, beating Good Vibe?
Her form is absolutely sensationally good, and she's clearly very, very good. But she's clearly got an issue, hasn't she? Put a hood on first time up. She must have been doing lots wrong at home. They must be worried about her going bonkers to put a hood on first time up. That would be my only thing, because on form, I think she stands out. Okay. I think the form, the beating of Good Vibes by five lengths on her debut in a good time gives her a massive chance of winning an average queen, winning a normal Queen Mary. I don't know if this one's average or not, but I think she sets the standard clearly. As I say, would I be backing a horse in a hood at Ascot at 3-1 or 7-2? No, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably leave her. But I mean, I'm quite prepared to see her win by four, but that just puts me off. And there's going to be a few Wesley horses in there that's going to go fast, might upset her, might get her out of her rhythm. So no, not for me at the price, but I completely get those who say she's a good thing, because she might well be.
Yeah, 750,000 guinea purchase. She's a half sister to Miss Gallagher, who ran in this race. I think she was about 11th. Got a lot in her favour, Watsy.
Yeah, I think so. As Tom alluded to, the form of her debut win has worked out fantastically well. You can't quibble about that. But I get the hood argument as well. I think for those reasons, it's probably, you know, she might not have, massive amounts of longevity about her. We might not be seeing her next season or the season after or whatever. But the fact that she's coming here off the back of just one run doesn't bother me that much, because I think we might see the best of her early on. If she's had issues already, and that's, you know, she's wearing hoods at this stage of her career.
Would it worry you, it's a big occasion and all the rest?
No, not really. It might help her. It might help her settle her down. Obviously, there's loads of different, appliances you can use, but hood, might help. Does it cover their ears? It might drown out a bit of the noise. Yeah. So, it might actually, keep her calm. But I think this is an impossible race to look at, really, because partly for the reason that Godolphin have got so many options. Now, who will they run?
Yeah.
Will they go with Chasing Dreams? Will they go with her on her own? I mean, she's the market leader at the moment, but they also own Ickworth. They've also got Divine Spirit, and they've got Final Song 2. They've also all won nice races coming into this. I can't believe they'll go with all of them. So how do you perm them? Or do you just, it's a statement of intent, I think, if they just go with Chasing Dreams, and that would be a big positive. But they might throw another one in there, another two. It's hard to say. And for that reason, it's a very difficult race to weigh up.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to some of the other ones. Let's talk about Lady Pauline next. Tom, you spoke about Ventura Rebel there with the Coventry, and she was obviously second to him last time. Apparently the vibes were that it came a bit soon after her win.
She's not running.
Oh, she's not running?
No, there's a thing out this morning saying she's not running. There's been a bit of money around for a couple of other Wesley Board horses.
Yeah.
Anna's Fast, people are talking about, she's 8-1. But the one for money today, funnily enough, has been a horse called Kimari.
She's the one I like most out of his bunch.
I don't know much about her, Maddie. You'll have to fill me in. Go on, tell us all about Kimari.
Quite simple, really, as is the case with a lot of his sort of young fillies. She won a 4.5 furlong novice at Keeneland and just looked really, really impressive. Stayed on really strongly in the closing stages. Didn't really seem to fold up. What else can you say? That's it, isn't it, really? But I think she was the one originally, you know, when it happened, that caught my eye most. Wesley Ward, what's he? He's got to be a big force to be reckoned with in races like this, hasn't he? I mean, obviously, he had Lady Aurelia win this race really impressively. We know she's out now, but Lady Pauline, she's related to her, and he just knows what it takes to win this race, doesn't he?
Yeah, any race like this, you've got a Wesley Ward runner, you've got reason to be fearful. I remember backing one against one of his a couple of seasons ago, and as soon as I saw the Ward horse enter the parade ring, I mean, it looked about twice the size of the rest of them. I thought, oh my God, you know, we're in trouble here. I think I've had a couple of winners on Wesley's horses over the years, but they just look a different species to some of the two-year-olds we get over here, and, you know, you're different training methods, different weather, different regime over there. Obviously, he gets, you know, this is his big target for his best one. So any two-year-old race, yeah, of course, you've got to bear in mind Wesley's horses and make sure you have a good look at them in the paddock, because if you see one twice the size and it's got twice the stride length, the others are going to find it hard to keep up.
Yeah, I must admit, I was at Ascot when Lady Pauline ran and she just looked so relaxed as well. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, she's out, so we won't talk about her. Darren, what do you think about his sort of bunch for this race this year?
I will just say, two firms still have Lady Pauline priced up. Shame on them if they are listening to this. Get that down immediately. To be honest, I don't know too much about Wesley Ward. Like, you know, you see all the clips on Twitter, like from at the races and stuff, of them bolting up by 10 lengths. But you have no idea what are they beating, how are they beating it, will they act on turf, will they act on the occasion, etc., etc. Like, it's hard enough to get a handle on the two-year-olds in general because they've run so few times without, you know, having an ocean between them as well and trying to figure out the form from the other side of that. For me, there's an argument that Chasing Dreams could be half the price she is. There is as big as 9-2 out there. I'm not suggesting that you should back her at 9-4, 5-2, but for me, 9-2 that is out there, where 7-2 is more than fair. As in, like, I'm not kind of like Tom. The headgear doesn't bother me as much as it bothers him, but as on a 2-year-old like her, it would bother me. But I think you're getting a very fair price to find out whether she's all right or not. Because it'd be different if she was like 7-4, 15-8. You could say, oh, the occasion might get her, but you could nearly back her each way at 9-2, you know, that kind of a way. And I think that's an extremely fair price. The other one then I'd just like to mention, at a massive price, his daughter-in-law for Kieran Cotter. Our lads, the social media guys, have been down with Kieran over the last couple of weeks, and he actually had a horse lined up for Royal Ascot called George Cornelius. He won at Dundalk. He won in his debut by about 12 lengths, over 5 furlongs, and he's had a minor setback, so he'll have targets later on in the year. But this daughter-in-law, Kieran's, she was punted off the boards on debut at Dundalk, and, you know, the inexperience just got to her. You know, she got a bit of a bump, and she didn't get the nicest passage through, and she then ran fairly well in a decent nace maiden, and kind of came to herself finally the weekend before last, when she won at the Curra in a novice auction stakes. According to Kieran, she's just a little bit immature, mentally speaking, but has all the talent in the world. Her homework compares well to that George Cornelius, and they don't think that they're going there with a 33-1 shot, I'll put it that way. And there is as big as 50s out there as well. They'd give her a proper squeak.
Okay, so one to watch there at a bigger price. Watsy, you've mentioned other of the Godolphin horses. Tom, who do you fancy? I mean, we've not really spoken about Good Vibes yet. The Marygate winner, is she on your list? Or can she not really beat Chasing Dreams on what you've seen so far?
Ah, look, she's improved since then, hasn't she? Yeah, she's got a bit. The form puts her right in with the best of the fillies at the moment. I think she'll get closer to Chasing Dreams. Do I think she'll beat her? Depends. I think Wesley actually Ward might win this race. I really do.
Do you? I usually quite, as much as I like Kimari, usually I quite like taking his horses on because I think usually they get really, really short and it's hard to know how good they are. But he does run some freaks here, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, it's just, I'm not normally a trends guy, but if Chasing Dreams gets to 15-8 or whatever we were suggesting there, then one of these Wesley Ward fillies might be a nice price, really. Do you know what I mean? I just think they have a massive advantage, as Watsy says. They're better conditioned at this stage of the year. They're like 3-year-olds compared to our horses. Mm-hmm. And if one of them, if Kimari or Anna's Fast are as good as any of the other ones, and he seems to be intimating that they're about the same, maybe not as good. And let's not forget, he didn't clean up last year, did he? He had, mm-hmm. I think he had the Norfolk winner, did he? But the rest of them...
Shang was his only winner, wasn't it?
So maybe we're sort of catching up, or whatever, I don't know, but... I'd be wary of. I mean, if one of those was 10-1, if Kimari's 10-1 on the day or Anna's Fast 10-1 on the day, that will probably be where I go. Simply because you could be backing something that's like so much better than the rest. Mm. But at the moment, I think the boys summed it up. I think Chasing Dreams is the best form, and outside of that, it's outside of the Wesley Ward ones, I think all the rest. Nothing's really stood out for me. Really stood out as being an exceptional filly at the moment. I suppose you could mention Tango of Aidan O'Brien's that won at, I can't remember where it won now, but it won very easily. We was talking about maybe going for the Albany nose. So once again, it's one of those races that is really tricky to, given that we don't have the entries at the moment, but I'd go for Wesley.
Okay, we'll clarify the lads' selections in just a sec, but one I wanted to mention was Divine Spirit, because she was, I think, 850,000 guineas purchased. She was really free to post, practically bolted to post when I was at Windsor the other day. She's by Kingman, so a sexy sire, and she's related to a really fast horse in Raucus. There seemed to be quite a bit of buzz about her. She was absolutely hammered in the market, so she could go well. But another Godolphin horse, so who knows where they want to send her. OK, Watsy, let's clarify your thoughts.
I don't have a huge opinion about this race. I think it's too difficult to know exactly the field makeup at the moment. I would keep it simple and go with Chasing Dreams, but not with any great, hope, really.
I think that's perfectly reasonable. I'm sure that's many people in the same boat. Darren, we'll go to you next.
Agree with Watsy there, yeah. I think Bad Chase came purely on the basis that she could very easily, if she was there 2-1, I wouldn't argue with that price, and you could get as big as 9-2. And the other one then, I would give a squeak to his daughter-in-law's.
Fabulous. And Tom, finally.
Well, I don't know which one of Wesley's is going to be the most favoured one, but if you tell me that... If Kimari's the one, then that'll do for me.
Let's talk about some of the other races now. Any other fancies? I think the King Stand is the only Group 1 we've not covered, so that's a logical place to start. But obviously, we know pretty much where we stand with that race. Batash and Blue Point taking each other on again. Any other fancies, Watsy?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Ascot Stakes. I love the staying races at Royal Ascot.
You always try and figure out which ones to win that, don't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I got Lagos to Vegas last year. And I'm really hoping that Willie Mullins puts Stratum in again this year. He was third in it last year, a slightly unlucky third. He hosed up at Newbury after that. And his form did tail off a bit. He got no run in the Ebor at all. Otherwise, I think he would have gone very close. But he has been running recently, which makes him of interest for me. He was fourth behind Mr. Adjudicator at Punchestown. Obviously, looks good after he went and won in France yesterday. And then he won a really small race at Ballinrobe over hurdles. Not many people may have even clocked it because, with the so much racing going on at the moment, he just won a very small race there. But it shows to me that he's fit and in form, and Willie Mullins must have something in mind for him. It might be, I'm on the wrong track here and he's going to keep him over jumps and... find something from Galway maybe or something like that. But the fact that he's fit and he's in good form at the moment makes me think they're going to have another crack at the Ascot Stakes. And if they do, then he'd be absolutely top of my list.
Price, is he?
I don't think we'd have got prices for that yet because this is kind of speculation at the moment because we haven't got the interest through. So he would be best of the rest for me if he turns up. And the other one, I'm probably one of the few who actually quite likes the Queen Alexandra, but I think if old Palisade had turned up again, he'd have a massive chance too. Gordon Elliott turned him inside out, and he's got him, or he did have him. He hasn't run for a while, but he
ran in the Savile Beg, didn't he?
Yeah, see, yeah, you're right. We haven't seen much of him. We've seen of him, but obviously, you know, his back form and everything, and his Ascot form and his win in this race last season. He's, you know, he's got it all there, and it's one of the weaker races in Ascot to go and win. So if his mind is still on the job, then I'd expect the old boy Palisades to come home in front again.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to chuck one in there. Why not? I'm being cheeky. We haven't got any betting for it yet, I don't think, but Space Blues is a horse I really, really like, and if he goes in the jersey, I'll be very interested in him. It's a shame he's going to be probably such a short price, though. Tom, any others you want to talk about?
Oh, Maddie, Space Blues, big fan of his. I'd love him in the Commonwealth Cup. I think he's a sprinter. I'd love to see him in the Commonwealth Cup. I don't know if he's an entered, but he can be supplemented in there. That would be interesting for me. Beatboxer.
I've stole your thunder anyway.
Yeah, you have. Beatboxer I like in the Britannia. Now, he's another one. I'm going to go against my not liking Hood's theory here, but he's 14-16-1 at the moment. I was really impressed with him in the Silver Bowl the other day. Thought he did incredibly well to win a terribly messy race. And I think he's by Scat Daddy. He's going to love.
He's a funny horse because he looked like he could be a star as a juvenile.
That's
and then
right.
His form was terrible, wasn't it?
His form tailed off, but then that was just he made up so much ground in the last half furlong. I mean, he was 20-1 that day, and he was, you know, he was giving £11 to the second to the runner up who got the run of the race. I just think he's a really good horse that John Gosden does very well in the Britannia. He does always has one lined up for it, and if he runs, I think he'll go really well.
Okay, nicely done. And Darren, finally, what else are you looking at Royal Ascot?
Just one. I Can Fly in the Duke Cambridge Stakes. She's probably about the right price, really, at 6-1. But just, you know, her career best run came in Ascot last October. And again, she's another sort of a cliff horse of mine because I do think she's probably more talented than we've ever seen. And, you know, maybe this year could be her year, but she does probably have to step up again to improve past best of year.
Okay, fantastic. That's all we've got time for today. That was our final Royal Ascot Anti-Postcast, but don't worry, we are at the track for all of the meeting this year, so we'll be updating you nearer the time on all of the races. Make sure to rate, review and subscribe. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and if you do have any Royal Ascot fancies, note them down in the comments on our YouTube channel. That'd be really good to hear who you're fancying, and we'll see you soon.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.